Hello and welcome to the next episode of On the Lead. I am not PTF. I am Shannon Kelly. I'm sure you confused our voices because we sound so much alike, us two New Yorkers. I'm not in the Brooklyn bunker. I'm on Park Avenue. Call me bougie. Welcome to the episode that I've been waiting for. Part two, if you've been following along with On the Lead for a while, episode two, we talked all about influencer marketing with Dan Torgman, VP at ABR, with Pete Rotundo, an executive at First Racing, and with Lindsay Zarniak, another member of our Stake and Stardom program. This is part two. We are beyond excited because if you are on social media at all, and if you're not, then what are you doing? We have Griffin Johnson, who is an influencer sensation and now a Kentucky Derby horse owner. So we're very excited about that. And then we have Rachel Miller, who is our director of digital marketing at ABR. She is the queen of TikTok herself in her own world. I think she is. I watch her TikToks. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much. And my co-host, PTF. What's up, PTF?
Well, I'm glad you got around to mentioning that I was, in fact, here. You were making it sound like, you know, I was off in the wilderness again. But
well, you're not. But how do I not introduce Griffin first? I mean, come on.
No, I'm not complaining about that. It's great to be here with the team. Everybody doing well today?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Griffin's been out. He was at Churchill this past weekend visiting Sandman and checking in on him. So the content has been flowing.
Well, that's the perfect jumping off point for a question for Griffin. With Derby upon us, knowing now that you were just there next to Sandman, how's he doing?
Yeah, Sandman, he's happy. He likes Churchill. You know, he kind of started there. So he's definitely familiar. He's ran there a couple times. And he's ready to run. He's matured a lot in the last, since the Rebel especially. It's interesting to see how much he's matured just in that short span of time. He came off the track. He didn't breeze. He just did his breeze yesterday. They said he came off super happy. It looked like he was hardly even breathing when he stepped off. So typical Sandman fashion, just his normal, goofy, fun guy self. So yeah, I'm excited.
As the resident old man of this quartet, Griffin, I have to ask you, what the heck is an influencer?
Okay, this is a great question, right? And I think that everyone kind of has their own form of this. But, you know, overall, what I say when people ask me is, it's someone that creates a story and has a storyline that people can connect to. For me, that's primarily Gen Z and young millennials. But it's anyone that can put something out there into the world and kind of curate culture in one way or another. And for me, you know, it's horse racing and getting the younger crowd in. And I guess my influencing would be is getting people to come to the track and give horse racing a chance. That's what influencing is to me right now. And I feel like it's always changing. That's a good base for anyone that's wondering what the heck I do for a living.
I think that's a really good description too, because I told Pete we had to ask this question because a lot of our listeners are probably not sure what an influencer is. And also, too, I'm an elder millennial and I'm a fan. So you don't just have young millennials. But I think one thing that we always talk about, too, is people ask, and my dad says this all the time, like, well, what are you influencing? What are you trying to get people to do? And you hit the nail on the head. Now you're in the sector of horse racing and you're trying to get people involved. Rachel, we talked with Dan on the first episode about the Stake and Stardom program and what it really means and how it got off the ground. What's your role in it and how do you come up with ideas on who to choose? I mean, obviously, Griffin has 2.6 million followers on Instagram, nearly 10 million on TikTok. So that seems like an obvious choice. But what goes into your thought process on who to engage for the Stake and Stardom program?
Honestly, it's a huge mix. We're really lucky with Griffin and that West Point was willing to take a leap into that Gen Z direction. But obviously, horse racing has been historically resistant to that. And I think that this year, in watching this whole journey unfold with Sandman, how genuinely invested Griffin has become in this process has been kind of the eye-opening experience to the rest of the sport. We've been doing this for years. This is the second time that a horse that's in the Stake and Stardom program has qualified for the Kentucky Derby. In 2023, Jace's Road, again with West Point, qualified, and he was owned by three people that were more traditional media personalities between Ian Rappaport, Joy Taylor, and Lindsay Zarniak. And there was absolutely media attention around that, and it did positive things for the sport. but this is a completely new level. Sandman is famous on TikTok. Griffin has just been producing tons of content around him that's getting millions of views, and it's reaching an entirely new audience of people. If you scroll through the comments of his videos, people are saying things like, I've never watched a horse race before, but I'm absolutely rooting for Sandman. I'm betting it all on him. And there's been virtual digital interactions, but also real life anecdotes of this is a year in. Griffin's first horse race with us was the Kentucky Derby last year. And at that time is when he found out that Sandman was going to be his horse, who at that time had just been purchased at a 2-year-old sale for $1.2 million. And again, West Point was fully bought in. And seeing him, seeing how engaged he is at the Kentucky Derby, wanting to take that leap fully. So at Sandman's first race over the summer last year, someone walked up and was like, dude, I just bet $1,000 on your horse because you own it. This is changing things in the handle. I know that Pete and the horse players are going to love that. So it'll be interesting to see how the Derby odds change, but circling back to what you mentioned as far as who we choose to work with, how we find these people to work with, a lot of times it is by personal relationships. We got really lucky connecting with Griffin by way of Allie Finley, who works with West Point, and she had gone to school with Marshall Sandman, who is in a business venture with Griffin in their venture capital firm. So he kind of connected us all together. And the bottom line is, though, we are not going to work or partner with anyone where it feels like it's going to be a transactional thing. And from the first conversation, it was very clear the authentic, genuine interest. And I think that everyone has seen that. And even Griffin's willingness to do every single interview, podcast, content collaboration, because this is now part of his storytelling on his platform. Whereas in the past, influencer marketing is show up to this event, we'll pay you, you'll post one time, and your followers will never see anything about the sport ever again. And what's so cool about Stake and Stardom is this is a part of a year-long or multi-year, the whole career of the horse story.
That brings up a question I need to ask. Griffin, what was your involvement in horse racing before this endeavor?
Sorry for everyone out there, it was zero. I had never gone into any sort of thoroughbred or any sort of horse racing other than 4-H back home. You know, I grew up in a town of 8,000 people in central Illinois. And, you know, so the Kentucky Derby for me was always the pinnacle of horse racing, obviously, growing up in the Midwest so close to the track. But it just seems super unattainable. And I think that that's kind of been the image around a lot of people I've noticed just from me posting online, you know, that it seems so distant. So I built a lot of hay and fed a lot of horses, a lot of ponies. And Macy, my girlfriend, she actually has an entire horse like farm back home. So they actually, her family bred horses back in the day, and they, you know, they have a whole family group of horses still at home. So as far as recreational riding and doing all that, I can definitely hold my own, but this is a whole nother level.
We were talking off air. We got Griffin's competitive fires stoked a little bit about how successful this marketing campaign has been. ABR Rachel has been nominated for a number of influencer type marketing awards. I want to hear a little bit more about that. I want to talk to Griffin about his desire to win, whether it's a marketing award or the Kentucky Derby.
No, that's correct. We're really excited. This is breaking news. This is an exclusive. On the Lead exclusive. So this is now the second consecutive year that America's Best Racing has won a Stevie Award for Marketing Campaign of the Year in the Entertainment and Sports category, and Influencer Marketing Campaign of the Year. So this is open up to all different types of businesses. This isn't just a horse racing award. And this is, again, specifically for the Stake and Stardom program. So we apply to these awards, explaining the program, the process, the reach, the success. So we've won now our second Stevie Award, and we are currently a finalist for a Shorty Award, which is one of the most competitive and prestigious honors in digital and social media marketing. So that one we will need some fan votes for to officially win the award. Griffin, it sounds like you're excited about that.
Yeah. Thanks, Rachel, for informing everyone on the news that I just got informed on. I did not know that we were up for, I guess when I say we, I'm including myself in the ABR.
Yes.
Yeah, you're
on the team.
Our most recent star of the campaign. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love to win. I can't lie. So that's always good news. Shout out to everyone that's going to vote for us for the shorty so we can win that. But yeah, I definitely just want to say, I want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone that's respected me in the sport. I know that traditionally there's been some red tape as far as influencing and social media goes. I don't know where it came from because everyone has been so gracious about getting me into the sport from the executive side to the barns to everything in the middle, starting with ABR from day one. They've been super helpful for me. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been watching and supporting. And it's really been a lot of positive feedback. And I think that my goal is grandkids can go to the races with their grandma and grandpa, and everyone knows and has a horse to bet on. You know, everyone has a team, whether it's, for me, it's Cassie. Everyone has their own team and their own barn that they're supporting. And, you know, they can kind of go into it and at least have an idea. I'm not expecting everyone to be an expert here. In fact, I mess things up all the time and people make fun of me for not knowing what to call the forelock or where to position my feet when I'm riding the ponies around at Churchill. And it's fine. That's the fun of it. Just wanted to put that out there and say thank you. As we're winning these awards, I just want to say, you know, and make sure everyone knows that I'm grateful for that.
Well, we really like to hear that. As a person that grew up in horse racing, obviously I'm on the younger side of people that are in executive positions in the industry. And I've always been really passionate about social media. And when Rachel came on board, I was like super excited to have someone in my age bracket to talk about this at work. because oftentimes you say things. We were in a meeting recently talking about Stake in Stardom with all of our executives. And I had been on TikTok. I spend an obscene amount of time in the evening. I don't consider it doom scrolling. I'm just scrolling. And one night I was on TikTok, and normally my FYP is cooking videos, get ready with me, restaurant reviews. But you know how it like pops up that you get like lives, even if you like don't follow the people. So I got, and I don't know, it feels like the gods were in my favor at this exact moment, but it was one of your lives, Griffin, when you were talking to, oh God, what's the guy, TikTok husband or husband?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was, Steve. You know, his claim to fame is like the fray making fun of Landon Barker, like which I think is hysterical because can you imagine that people become famous for lip syncing? I don't even know. But anyway, and I got you right as he was asking you what your plans were. And you were like, well, I'm going to watch a horse race this weekend. And he was like, is it the Kentucky Derby? And you were like, well, no, like, but kind of. And then you like talked about it, which is something that I think is really interesting on how we're trying to grow in America's Best Racing. And the industry as a whole is trying to grow the sport, which is, a lot of times people think that the only race is the Kentucky Derby because it is our biggest platform. It's our biggest day. So number one, it's great that this episode is coming out Derby week because we need to capitalize on this moment.
Right.
Because so many eyes are on it, right? And people don't realize that we race year round. People think that that's exactly the only race. So it's great that you're now explaining that. Obviously, you've had to learn that, not knowing it either. And let me also say that people can be in horse racing their whole life. I don't know what a fetlock is. My grandfather's a Hall of Fame horse trainer. I don't know what that is. Like, I don't, like, so don't feel bad. At least you ride. I don't even touch them. I'm a people person. I like to go. I like to sit in the box seats, which I think is also kind of what is great about the people that you're bringing along. There are so many entry points, right, into horse racing.
I want to follow up on what you were saying. I think that a lot of people also think that Gen Z and can kind of tend to be a little bit on the more like, they just lack respect for the sport. And I just want to say that I think that this horse racing has a lot to offer for every demographic. And the reason why Kentucky Derby is so prevalent is because it's a culture curator. And when I say that, what I mean is it embodies every piece. You have the fashion side of it, Everyone can appreciate the fashion from all age groups. You have obviously great drinks, which not every age group can, but most age groups can. You add in that with the good food. You add in the fact that you can place bets and get the competitive sports side of it. And on top of it, you know, you finish it off. I always say horses built human civilization in a big way. I mean, we've rode into war on horses. We've built civilizations with horses. Horse racing is the oldest sport in America for a reason. It does have unlimited resources of entertainment and something to offer every single person. And I think that's what's special about it for sure. I always preach that. For everyone out there, that's educate the person next to you. Bring them to a race. Tell them, just try it once. And, you know, if they don't like it, fine. That's cool. You know, it's not some people's thing. But I think that there's something that most people will find if they just give it a chance. I always like to say that because I want people to really understand the importance of going out once. And I think that they'll find a new hobby.
Tell us more about your personal experience along this process, Griffin.
I guess I didn't know what I was getting into necessarily just because, you know, I've never done it before. But what I will say is for someone that loves to compete, this sport is so addicting to me. I've loved every piece of it from my ignorance and learning to the losses, to the wins, to being back in the barns, to being on the race days. Like everything in between for me has been the experience that I just couldn't replicate anywhere else if I tried. You know, I would argue I'm in a pretty adrenaline rush sport being in influencing. I mean, it's an everyday, ever-changing thing to stay relevant and to keep creating storylines and culture. So this sport has treated me so well. And I can't, once again, I can't thank everyone enough. It's just been a flawless experience. And it's been awesome to actually make a change. You know, even being on this interview and you guys taking the time for me is the piece that we need, and that's what's really making this so impactful for everyone. So thank you guys, and I really want to continue doing that for as long as I can. As long as I can, you know, be in this sport and have a piece, I'm in.
Let's talk about competition a little bit more. You've been very successful in terms of sports in your life, in terms of academics in your life. What does competition mean to you as a content creator? You tracking views? Are you trying to win popularity awards? How do you compare the kind of competition you've done, the kind you're doing now, to what you do in your day-to-day life?
Competition comes in a lot of forms in social media. Number one is competing with people like Rachel that make better content than me.
No.
No,
not true.
No, I'm kidding. She does make great content, though. I'm jealous, and sometimes I do steal ideas from her. For me, it's less about the actual followers. I think gaining followers is a lot like, I guess, money. I think it's if you sit there and you count and check your checking balance every single day, it can be a little bit toxic and actually work backwards. So for me, competing, even with the Kentucky Derby, right, obviously the goal is always to win. But most importantly, it's about putting on a good show and getting people to the track, win or lose. And same thing with influencing. You know, I've had ups and downs. I've made plenty of mistakes. I've been in plenty of dilemmas and controversy and drama. And, you know, you name it. It's part of the game of being public and having an opinion. For me, competing is always just staying in the news and at the end of the day, providing value to a group of, even if it's one person, really providing value, giving entertainment, and, you know, giving some sort of insight to persuade or change lives in a positive direction. So that's how I compete. And the more people that I can do that for, the more success I would say that I've had in my career.
Influencer marketing is not new, and a lot of brands use it. So could you tell us a little bit about how often do you work with other brands? And Rachel talked about it. You know, oftentimes you pay an influencer to come and then they don't buy in. Well, correct us if we're wrong, but I think you're bought in at this point. We know you are. Is there a lot of thought process that you put into like the type of brands that you work with?
It's just like anything else. Everyone has their own approach. There's a lot of successful creators that have had great success, you know, using different methods and strategies and whatever. For my approach, I do try to pick brands that I can actually relate with. You know, ABR wouldn't be successful if I wasn't interested, right? So not saying that they wouldn't be successful without me, but I'm saying
right.
That our partnership was
successful.
No, the
program doesn't work unless, you know, the creator is bought in. Like, you know, you can't pull from something that's not willing to give.
Yeah, 100%, you know, so for me, I do definitely always, you know, especially this late in my career, you know, I've been doing, it doesn't sound like a long time, but in influencing, you know, 5 years is pretty 5 or 6 years is pretty substantial as far as, you know, actually being able to move the needle in cultures. So I do that. I'll be honest. If a company wants to throw enough money at me, you know, I've done a couple. I've done a few, you know, let's be honest.
We're not above it. None of us are above it.
I've had a few, you know, moments where, you know, I might have done things for the money, but for the most part, it's all about passion for me. And that's what I let carry me. I'm a super passionate person. And whenever I care about something, it's hard for me to go 50%. It's usually 0 or 100. And I kind of know that about myself. And it's my Achilles heel, some would say. But yeah, that's my approach. And having a venture capital fund, I see lots of deal flow and different companies and startups. And really, I like building things and taking industries that are have a little bit of red tape and some traditional values behind them and shake them up with the social media spice. And that's what I did in my first run was venture capital. And now we're here with horse racing. And that's what drives me and motivates me. So that's where I'm at in my career.
And his reactions to races, by the way, that will tell you everything you need to know about his passion. He couldn't, unfortunately, be at the Arkansas Derby. In fact, I don't think that you've been on site for a race that Sandman has won. I don't know if this is feeding into a superstition, but he reacted to the Arkansas Derby from his car, and it was one of the most insane reactions that people are, again, going nuts for and commenting on it. Like, why am I crying for this horse and person that I don't even know? Like, we put that on our channels. And so people that aren't even necessarily familiar with Griffin, seeing that genuine emotion, which one of the best things from our sport are those reactions, and has been a big part of America's Best Racing's bread and butter and success as far as having a video feature on Ramiro the year that Mage won the Kentucky Derby. And that same year being with Jen Antonucci when she won the Belmont Stakes, just that emotional component of horse racing, again, I think is what makes it resonate with audiences so well. People are emotional around animals, and the lens that Griffin is giving his following into Sandman is giving them an emotional tether to the horse. Where it's clear, like, all the content is not just the horse running around the track racing. Most other trade publications in horse racing, a lot of the content or photography is horses winning races. And that's it. That doesn't necessarily push the emotional dial and ethos of people, which with Gen Z, like, they want to feel emotionally compelled to do something and take action. Whereas millennials, we were just like, if there's drinks and, you know, fedoras, we're there.
Yes. Amen. That's what we did.
Y'all are cold. Y'all are cold now.
They were like, is it an open bar? We're in. Like,
yeah. So it's completely transcended with, again, ushering in that next generation of fans and making things palatable to them is truly lifting that third wall, which I think that the sport has been much better at and more transparent with. And this couldn't have been a better time for Griffin to come in, with the sport being the safest that it's ever been. Shows now coming out on Netflix about it. It seems to have a lot of positive momentum, and what ABR is always looking to do is grow and build upon that success. So I hope that people are taking note of what's happening right now.
I was going to say, we're in a moment.
Yeah, and are willing to, again, come to us, which our whole point and mission and goal is to develop fans in the sport of horse racing, eventually turn into the bettors, the owners. You've got all of these new people that are like, oh, Sandman, I know that horse. I've seen that horse all over TikTok. I'm going to bet $5 on it to win the Kentucky Derby. And it's that times the reach of almost 10 million people. So that really ups the interest and the engagement. It's the snowball effect, right?
Griffin, I want to talk more about this increased interest in horse racing from your followers. Sounds like you've seen some of that on a ground level.
The feedback has been incredible. Whenever you change niches, right? Because traditionally I'm more of just a big trend follower, hanging out with my friends, doing my day-to-day life, everything from people ask what I do. It's, and I tell them it's everything. I mean, from what I wear for the day, what I eat for the day, who I'm hanging out with, what function or what event I'm going to, you know, that's my usual day-to-day. So when you change niches, and especially something like horse racing, I didn't really know what the initial reaction was going to be. Sometimes it takes a few months to get your followers acclimated to something new. And sometimes it's an immediate integration. And horse racing was an immediate integration. And it helps that the fan base of horses I would argue that it is, horse racing is definitely a strong niche. The people that are inside of it are very engaged, which is awesome. It's great to be a part of that kind of community where it does have real fans and people that want to participate. It's definitely been easier than I thought it would be. And getting people on board, I would say that, and I say this very confidently, and I've said it to everyone, you know, if we can continue to naturally integrate traditional entertainment and media with social media for horse racing, and, you know, I can get the support from people like yourselves that give me credibility, you intertwine that. And I think within 5 years, we'll see a double in attendance for horse racing. I think that it'll start bringing kids and, you know, it'll create those relationships where families are going to the tracks on a random Saturday or Sunday for fun. It's already going to start happening. I mean, like Rachel said earlier, I see literally thousands of people commenting on my videos saying, like, this is my first derby I'm ever betting on. I've lived in Louisville my whole life and I've never attended, but this is going to be my first year. I can't attend the race. It's my birthday. Some lady said, you know, I'm going to be all the way in Turks and Caicos, but I'm still going to put a bet in on Sandman just because I love him. And these are all like real testimonies of people. And that's what gets me fired up, because it's like she probably has three kids and, you know, those three kids are going to see Sandman and they don't care about anything else but going to the track and seeing Sandman. But it doesn't matter because it gets them to the track. And that's what we need. And that's what I want to continue to happen. So I just keep driving that home. Some people are already tired of seeing me. They're like, who is this kid? Like, why can't I get rid of him?
Like, he's seriously popping up on my page. Who is he? Why is he on everybody's podcast?
Yeah, they're like, who is this guy? And, you know, that's valid, but I'm not going to stop. So hopefully we can continue to get all of the support from everyone, because like I said, if they have grandkids or kids or whoever, like, show them Sandman.
And that could even eventually lead to tourism in Kentucky. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun, but everything that Sandman's done so far points to stallion career, potentially, hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed. And in that case, that's a huge part of tourism and people, you know, still being able to see him, visit him, that are fans for life. This is mainly at top of mind just because earlier this week I was out at Ashford Stud to get some content around American Pharoah, since it's been 10 years since he won the Triple Crown. And there was a tour group right in there, right before us. And they're like, yep, tours of people come and want to see him every day, and wouldn't that be neat?
I agree. I'm actually going to see Tappet next week.
Oh, nice. Fun.
Yeah. So
you got to get your picture. Everybody's got to get your picture with Tappet. If you don't have one, are you even in horse racing if you don't?
Yeah, right. I'm going to go see his dad. So it'll be, I actually want to do that. I'm one of the tourists that wants to be a fan.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to go check out his dad and see what Sandman has to look forward to in his good looks.
Yeah.
I know. Sure. Sandman does have so much personality and pizzazz. I'll be honest, the times I've been out to see Tappet, I'm not important enough where they're going to pull him out for a show for me. He would position just his butt right where his head's supposed to come out of his stall and like side eye over his back, just like
look back at it.
I'm too important for this. Yeah. He's the original diva.
Yeah.
But you're going to love that. It's a beautiful farm out at Gainesville.
It is beautiful.
Oh, Gainesway is gorgeous.
Griffin has a ton of friends that are in this same influencer space. So for those that aren't familiar, in 2020, I guess we haven't touched on the story of how he first rose to prominence in the app. It sounds like it was all accidental, but the group of people that were all kind of blowing up at the same time formed these houses together. Griffin and his crew were Sway House. And Sway. Everyone has continued to have these pretty prolific careers on social media. So, and I know that you were just with a lot of those people at Coachella. How curious are they about what you're doing? Because these are fellow influencers. Are you influencing the influencers?
I'm going to speak for them. You know, we're not a very emotional group. Like, we're not going to go and, hey, bro, I'm really proud of you. But, you know, deep down, I know that I'm proud of what they've accomplished so far. You know, Josh, my friend Josh, did a podcast with Portnoy for 3 years. You know, my other friend Bryce that I live with, you know, he's doing bare knuckle fighting and, you know, competing in probably the most crazy sport in the world. You know, and Noah, he just did, you know, QB and Me and on Tubi, super successful movie. I could go down the list, but everyone has done a great job. And, You know, I'm like the horse venture capital. Like, just everyone's like, why are you there? You're so young. And I'm like, because we're going to make it cool. We've all found our own niches, but they're definitely super engaged. And I've noticed that this is what I say, and this is would even be great for the Netflix show of the horse world has been very gatekept and niche, right? Like, even the marketing is done to everyone that's already in the sport. And I think the most valuable thing that I've brought to the table is bringing outside people, bringing in new people, that fresh crowd. And, you know, you're talking about some of the most influential people in the world the last 5 years, as far as our generation. It's cool to get that outside support and just getting them their feet wet and seeing it through me, right? They're seeing like, wow, this is sick. Like, I see it on your Instagram. They don't really know what's going on, but you know, they're seeing it and they're definitely interested. It's exciting for me because once again, it just keeps proving the point of if you can just get people to the track, there's always an aspect to get them hooked. That's what we're seeing. Same thing with the influencer world. I know that, you know, regardless of how many followers you have, horse racing is still very fun and very addicting to watch. I would say that they're getting the same effect as anyone that would go to the track. And that's why I love it.
There's a lot of intertwine of the two communities that already existed that I think you're helping amplify. You mentioned Josh having the podcast with Dave. Obviously, Dave is a huge horse owner. He's been engaged for many, many years. He loves to come to the track. He has a house in Saratoga. He loves it. And that's really great. You also, I saw on TikTok, had a whole, I don't know what you would, you did a TikTok or with Bethany Frankel. Bethany Frankel's father is the most famous of horse trainers in at least the last, what would you say, Pete, like 50 years?
I
would
decades. Say. Yeah, it's decades.
I mean, Bobby Frankel, there's huge. A stallion named after him that is epically successful on the European side of all of this. And so it's kind of interesting, like those people already existed and they were already a part of it in a way. And now you're taking it even further. I know a lot of people tune in when Dave and his group do these huge betting videos.
It's funny with Bethany, I didn't know, you know, we've been friends for years now. And I had no idea that her father was like the goat of horse racing for our, like, I had no idea that he was as successful. She never said anything. And then casually one day, this was like before the Arkansas Derby when I was posting, she just called me on like a random Sunday and was like, hey, I think I might come to the Derby. And I was like, oh, sweet. And she's like, I was just kind of asking like, who you going with and stuff. And she's like, oh, like, I got it.
yeah, she's got it, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then like, she told me, she's like, look up my dad. And I was like, okay. And so I looked him up. I'm like, hello? Like, he's the goat. Like, what do you mean? So that's how I figured out about that. And yeah, Dave, I mean, he's obviously just an absolute animal. You know, Barstool has been super great for the sport. I had messaged him and just said, like, you know, I look up to him. For me, getting into this has been really cool. And I hopefully one day I've been trying to do something with him because I think it would be great. But, you know, he's a great lover. And he was giving me crap about, you know, Sandman on the podcast with my friend and stuff because, you know, he wants to get to the Derby with a gray. So it's a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a, like,
right.
Touchy thing, you know, and I try not to, I've really tried not to bring that in and speak about it just for the fact that I want it to just naturally happen. And I really do respect him, but I definitely, yeah, that would be a home run for me and the industry one day for us to do something. So yeah. Fingers crossed, and hopefully Sandman wins and can get him some Sandman babies.
Can't get out of here without being true to my brand, Griffin, and asking you a gambling question. Obviously, you know, loving the competition, loving being on the ownership side. Are you tempted at all to learn how to handicap and pick horses and bet money yourself?
Yeah, you know, I've realized that regardless of why you're in the sport, the money always ends up being an aspect of it. So I think it's inevitable for me at some point to at least have a general knowledge of how betting works, because if I'm being honest, I really don't. I suck at betting and usually I'm the worst luck ever. So I try to stay in my lane. I really do. But I think that at some point, yes, I'm definitely going to have to educate myself on at least how to do general betting and handicapping.
Okay, Griffin's being modest. So what he hasn't told you guys is since he got into this venture, and a lot of this is stuff that Macy has told me too, because she's like, he is so crazy. Like, he's obsessed. Fully knows how to dissect a program, what all of those numbers and lines mean. He's watching race replays.
I have watched almost every Derby trail race.
Speed figures and fractions.
Yeah, I do. I study all the practices. I study every fraction. I study every tape. I've watched every single horse race that's on the Derby trail. Like, I do study. I know every single horse front and back. I just have not really put any bets in.
So you're going. This is really exciting. What is it going to look like for you? Like, are you going to bring us behind the scenes? You know, are you going to do like an Alex Earl get ready with me video before you leave, like putting on your eyeliner, your white eyeliner before you go to the Derby? Or what can we expect?
I'm flying into Louisville actually Saturday. So I'm going to be there from start to finish. I'm going to be there when they, you know, draw posts and do the whole thing. I have a collab coming with the mayor of Louisville. So we're going to be doing some content there. Obviously, I'm going to be doing interviews all week. I'm really going to be posting it leading up to Oaks and Derby Day. Obviously, I'm going to be doing like the whole get ready with me, show people what I'm wearing. I have a custom Sandman suit. You know, I got a custom chain that I'm going to be. My friend owns a jewelry company, so I had to make me a custom, like, you know, Sandman chain. I'm going to be the perfect blend, I like to say, of classy and fun. I like to respect the sport, make sure that when I say this, I mean it with all due respect. The older people can respect me and I can shake their hand and talk to them, but also bring in some views and some fun to the sport. Show people that we're normal people, too, and we're just here to have a good time. That's the vibe I'm bringing to the function. I want to have a good time. I want to put on a good show. I want to walk around and interact with people that are fans of Sandman or myself and just bring in and welcome everyone with open arms. That's my whole goal. So if you see me, say hey, ask me questions. I think I'm going to try to get some buttons and pins to hand out to people. So it's going to be a good time.
Well, you thanked all of us for welcoming you, but we really need to thank you because I think you have spoke so eloquently and yet casually about your involvement in it. And I think that's a great way for people to approach the sport. And we really thank you for giving us a platform for a sport that me, Rachel, and Pete really, really love. And we're completely bought in. It's our career. So we hope it stays successful. And you're really a part of that. So thank you for buying in. Thank you for loving Sandman and everything we've given to the sport. And we look forward to having you as an owner for years and years to come.
Yeah, thank you guys. And thanks to ABR and Rachel and West Point, Terry, Debbie, Tom, Allie, Ryan, Danielle, like everyone that's, you know, been a part of everything that I've done too. So I always like to close out by saying thank you again to the people watching. So hopefully everyone can come into this with an open mind. And, you know, once again, I hope that I can bring their grandkids and their kids to the races. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
And fun. That's how Griffin described what he wants to do with his content around horse racing. I'd say it describes him pretty well as too, Shannon.
Going to say that was my middle name, but I'll let Griffin have it because he is way more famous than me. I think I have 1,000, if I have 1,000 followers, but that was awesome. Like, obviously, we've talked about on the pod before how obsessed I am with social media. And so I obviously follow him. I've seen what he does. And I'm heavily influenced. So I think he really touched upon what a difference investing in influencer marketing can really do for our sport.
I feel more optimistic about the future of the sport hearing him talk about horse racing than I have in a long time. And I'm not exaggerating. Also, what a great job Rachel did, not only answering our questions, but asking a few of her own. You know, no good deed goes unpunished around here, famously. We might have to pull her in for some more shows.
I was thinking the same thing. Rachel and I have great banter working together at the Jockey Club. We don't even really cross paths that often, but when we do, our conversations are like this. So I knew she would be a great fit for this. And, you know, she's really helped grow the program that Dan and the team started so many years ago. We have to give a huge shout out, which Griffin did as well, to Terry Finley and the team at West Point. They've been a huge supporter in America's Best Racing and what the Jockey Club is trying to do with America's Best Racing and growing the sport. And they're all in. And I think there's a future here. I think a lot of other ownership groups are really going to be interested into seeing how they can get involved and how they can use people like Griffin, which, what an amazing story that, like, he got asked to be a part of this, but then literally embraced it wholeheartedly and loves it. That's the best part of this.
Very, very cool stuff. All right, I think we leave it here. We've said what we need to say for today. I'll thank you one more time, Shannon. We'll thank Rachel and Griffin as well. All our friends over there at the Jockey Club. On the Lead is a joint production of the Jockey Club and In the Money Media. We're going to be back with another episode before too long. Make sure you subscribe to the On the Lead individual feed as well as the In the Money Media feed so you never miss an episode. My name's Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.
Oh,
you're on mute.
Shannon's got the mute button on.
Oh, geez.
You're on mute.
And I just said I was a cool elder millennial, and I really I'm not. Okay.